Baseball is back.
He doesn't want a super spreader out there in the middle of the field.
The season is different. On the field, in the socially distant clubhouse, in the empty stands.
You guys wanted to do it. You've been wanting to do it for months.
There's a lot to talk about.
Who are you kidding? Don't give me all that bull crap.
And this is the place to do it. This is the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Big Wa Safety Insurance, Rodenheiser Home Services, Woodbridge Wines, Gravely, and Jackson Lumber.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, here we go. Another day, another loss. Red Sox trailing the Tampa Bay Rays right now, 7-4 over at Fenway Park. They are in what inning is that, Murray? I can't see that.
Top of the fourth. Devers just had a butcher of a play, and the Rays have runners at first and third. Top of the fourth, no outs.
No outs. Rays have two men on. It looks like Tampa's in control of the game again, because if you're the Red Sox, how could you possibly be in control with that pitching staff? So, look, here's what we're going to do tonight. Obviously, we're opposite the game. The Red Sox started 4:30. They are moving at a glacial pace, which means, shocker, which means that there is no chance that this game is going to be over by the time we get off the air. So rather than listen to the Red Sox lose, you should be listening to us and discussing the merits of losing, otherwise known as tanking, right here on the Baseball Reporter. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to open up the phone lines right away, 617-779-0985. And I'll ask the same question I asked last night, and I have more details for you, because I want to hear from fans, in all honesty. Does it bother you that they're losing like this? Even in a pandemic year, even with all the injuries they have, does it bother you that they're losing this much? Because, honestly, I think it should. I don't think that, if it didn't bother you, you wouldn't be a loyal fan of the team. Okay, so that's where I would start. But I would also advise you to do this. Change the way you look at it. This year, time to tank. Time to tank. It's a time for tanking is what it is. And the Red Sox are in prime position. So let me read to you some of the information that sort of I came across this morning. And that started last night when the Red Sox again fell to last place in the American League two nights ago when they lost to Tampa. Last night they lost again. And so they are now 6-12. They are on pace to go 20-40 going into today. 20-40 in a 60-game schedule. To give you an idea of how bad that is, I'll project it for you over 162. They are on pace to go 54-108. The year they won the World Series, they went 108-54. Now they're on pace to lose 108 games. Now it's early. It's a small sample. I get all of that. But this pitching staff is not going away. You're stuck with this staff. Here's the other thing that should really convince you that the Red Sox are in dire straits. Murray, in the last 2 years, and I asked Jimmy Stewart too if Murray's got one eye on the game, so I got to give Murray some latitude. But in the last 2 years, who have been the two best teams in the American League East? And I'm counting this year. This year and last year, the two best teams in the division have been
Yankees and Tampa.
Yankees and Tampa, absolutely. The Red Sox against those teams this year, 1-7. 1-7 against those two teams.
The Yankees, I'm not that surprised by. Like, they're a wagon this year. But this Tampa team, I mean, they shouldn't be losing the way that they're
losing. The Rays, I believe, have won 10 of the last 11 at Fenway Park.
I think that's right, Jimmy. Yeah. And the
that's
reason,
embarrassing.
So the reason I focus on that record is because those are the playoff teams. Those are the teams you have to beat to get into the playoffs. You have to beat Tampa. You have to beat New York. You got to be better than those two clubs, or at least one of them, to get into the playoffs. You're 1-7. Yeah, but it's a short season. It's a small sample. Okay. Let me go back to the beginning of last year when the Red Sox went into the season effectively with the same team that won 108 games in the World Series, 108 games and the World Series, 119 wins total. Since the beginning of last season, do you know what the Red Sox are against Tampa and New York combined? Combined. 13-33. 13-33 the last 2 years against Tampa and New York. That is the gap that exists between you and the playoffs. 13-33. That's the gap. And that is not a gap. That is a canyon is what that is. That is a chasm. It's a black hole in outer space. That is a lot of ground to cover. And I looked it up on Baseball America. The Red Sox have the 23rd ranked player development operation in the game. And honestly, that's higher than I thought. I thought they were in the bottom three or five for sure. I thought they might have been dead last. 23rd out of 30 teams in the major leagues in player development. So what you have is a wretched roster with no pitching, and I shouldn't say a wretched roster, a wretched pitching staff and a wretched player development system. And you just got a GM who is now starting to put the whole thing together, which means this is going to take a while. Tank, 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 tank. Would it bother you as a fan, really, if the Red Sox tanked? If it would, I have some other information for you that I think you'd be eager to know in terms of where they have picked over the years, the value of those draft picks, stuff like that. And I'll get to that here momentarily. Our intern, Cam, looked up some stuff for me and came up with some pretty good info that I did not know and that I know now. I also think that this particular season, if it ends up in a last place finish, and right now the Red Sox aren't merely last in the division, they are last in the league. Last in the league, second worst record in all of baseball to only Pittsburgh. And this I came across or struck me this morning when I was looking at some of the stats. This Red Sox ownership group ended an 86-year drought by winning the World Series in 2004. They have won four World Series championships. Four. Let alone one. Four. This would also be their fourth last place finish. Talk about a schizophrenic existence. Talk about being bipolar. And I don't know about you, I don't want to live that way anymore. I don't want to go bipolar like that. 108 wins and 2 years later, you're threatening to lose 108 or you're on pace to lose 108? To me, unacceptable. The Red Sox really need to fix that. They really need to fix that. That is getting really old. Like, I'm getting mad just thinking about it. 108 losses they are on pace for 2 years after winning 108. How does that happen? And it's not the first time. So they went from 2013 to 2014 first to worst. It's the same thing over and over again. The cycle has to stop. Has to stop. Let's go to Paulie, who's in the car. Paulie, go ahead.
Yeah, Tony. It's not that they're losing like this. I'd be fine if they're the Oakland A's spending $35 million to win a World Series and lose it and go to last place. For $200 million, you can't, like, finish third back-to-back years and win a World Series? Just call me crazy. I mean, for $200 million, we're watching guys start their first games, throw up all over the place, and give up five runs in the third. Like, it's embarrassing is what it is.
Okay, so Paul... Yeah, so, Paulie, this is sort of my point. The fact that it reaches this stage is you have every right to get mad at ownership for this, and more importantly, baseball management. I think a lot of this falls on Dave Dombrowski for the way he ran this thing. While he was here, he put them in this predicament. As someone said to me today, how do you like the carcass that Dombrowski left the Red Sox with? Now, it's not a complete carcass, but it's a bit of a carcass. I mean, granted, Eduardo Rodriguez is out. Chris Sale is injured, although that one was coming. They shouldn't even have Sale here, frankly. They should have never signed him to that extension. And if we're going to blame Dombrowski, then it's hard to not go to ownership when you allow Dombrowski to make some of these moves, even though he's on his way out the door. So that one's hard to stomach. So the nature of the defeat, certainly frustrating. Let me ask you this, and this gets a little tricky. But if this is the last one, if this is the last dip, and I don't know that it is, because again, it's been a schizophrenic existence, but it gets them, call it a top three, top five pick in the draft. Given where they are as an organization, is it worth it? I think they should tank. And I'm actually, I joke with Murray about it, but I am on the verge of celebrating now bad performances. This guy who pitched today, Kyle Hart,
yes, that's the name.
Boy, does he suck.
Yeah.
Wow. And so I don't want to dump on the guy because, you know, he's a guy the Red Sox drafted, had Tommy John. You know, he probably doesn't belong in the big leagues. The pitches I saw going up to the plate, I think his fastball hit 90 miles an hour. It looks like 85 tops. And
everything that he was throwing was batting practice, Matt.
Everything was up in the strike zone. His off-speed stuff was up in the strike zone. Really, this is, and we say this in jest all the time, Murray. Looking at this guy today, I wanted to grab a bat. I'm like, I can hit that guy. That guy I can hit.
That drone that was flying around could have hit him.
I mean, really. So this is what but I'm starting to think they should give this guy another start. Lose. Just lose, baby. Do everything you have to do to lose. Keep losing. It's not guaranteed that they're going to go with the traditional formula to order the draft next year, to set the draft order. But take every loss you can and put yourself in the best position.
I mean, there's nothing that can really beneficially come from this season. They're not going to accomplish anything, even if they did have a squeak into the playoffs because it's been expanded.
Murray, what can come out of this season is a high pick.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So, yeah, tank. So what you can get out of this by losing and being as bad as you are, I'm with you. Just tank.
Lose, lose, lose. Mike's in Worcester. Mike, what do you got?
Look, guys, it's 100% in the best interest of Red Sox fans to see them tank this year for one reason and one reason only. But what you're going to take the crop of guys you have now and see who you can keep. And this is all of it. It can be blamed on D-U-M-B Rowski, okay? He left us with the empty carcass.
Not all of it.
Most of it he did. And part of the reason we lost Betts is because we had to get rid of the terrible contract and the terrible player that was David Price. I mean, the guy is a complete waste of talent and everything else. And this year, you know, you take who you have, you see who's worth keeping for next year, you tank, you get the pick, which we've never had, and you start developing something for the long run. Because the way they've been doing it has been complete backwards.
Okay? So Mike, look, I'm going to stop you there. I want to tank. I think you're a little bit wrong on Mookie. Mookie was gone. Okay, Mookie was gone. So again, you can hold on to that one as long as you want. Mookie wasn't going to sign here. He wasn't going to sign here. That's why they traded him. Now, they had to move Price to get rid of him, you know, and I say get rid of him, to move him, because they waited too long to trade him. But Mookie wasn't going to stay. But that said, you have to tank. You have to tank. The Red Sox don't often get chances like this. And I say chances, meaning chances to pick high in the draft. They don't, and I'll fill you in on what the possibilities are for how they're going to set the draft order. We'll do that when we come back, and I'll also tell you why this pick potentially has so much value to the Red Sox, and it's not as simple as saying that a high pick is a good player and they need good players in the system. Given the Red Sox history, it's more complicated than that. So we'll do that when we come back.
This is the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Maz. The Baseball Reporters is brought to you by Budweiser, Major League Beer. That's right, Budweiser, now the official beer of the Baseball Reporters show. So be sure to try the new Budweiser Nitro Gold, a lager brewed with toasted caramel malt and infused with nitro for a very smooth finish, Murray, as they like to say. Available now, enjoy responsibly. 2020 Anheuser-Busch Budweiser Nitro Reserve Lager, ailed in Texas, St. Louis, Missouri, must be 21 or older.
Now, more hot takes on a short season. It's the Baseball Reporters on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What is he doing? That had to have been some of the worst base running I have ever seen. What was he thinking?
It's time for the Baseball Reporters' base running blunders.
In 13. Stroke toward the alley. That's going to find the green off the wall, and it bounces back for Kiermaier. Pilar trying for two, and he's out.
Oh.
Cut down at second on the throw by the Gold Glover. And that does it for the Red Sox. Only three men come to bat. They're going to check to see if they want to review that. At second base, take another look.
Now let's take a look of our own. Let's see. The tag, I believe, is there before the foot hit the bag. Looks like the top foot might have gone over the bag, as you can see, and then the tag came before he got it back on there. So I think that's a good call.
And what no a shame. Challenge. What nope. a shame.
No challenge. Out number three as we go to break.
No, Eck. Not what a shame. Shame, shame, shame. Another base running mistake. Last night, Kevin Pillar. Red Sox are down 6-0 at the time. 6-0. Hits a ball off the wall, two outs. Yeah, but you got to get to second and get in scoring position. For what? One run's going to do it, gets thrown out, ends the inning. just wouldn't be the Red Sox without the mistakes along the way. The ineptitude. So, again, last night they gave up four homers. Today, I think the Red Sox have given up at least two, and it's only two. The game is still on now. The Red Sox, by the way, have allowed like the fifth or sixth most home runs in the majors. And Tampa isn't exactly the Bash Brothers. Not exactly the 27 Yankees we're talking about with the Tampa Bay Rays. And on top of that, three errors today. Two by Devers in the same inning on throws. So base running mistakes, bad pitching, the offense has been a disappointment, and today they have three errors. Murray, have you ever heard of the Amazing Mets?
They were like bumbling idiots, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, that's what they are. Well, what we have this year is the Amazing Red Sox.
Yeah.
That's what we have. The 1962 Mets were an expansion team. They lost 120 games. It's a modern major league record. There were other teams that lost more in the 1800s, but those don't count. They were playing with a beanbag, for crying out loud. The baseball wasn't a baseball. But the Mets lost 120 games. Casey Stengel, the manager, famously remarked, "Can't anybody here play this game?" That is what your 2020 Red Sox are. So before I get back to your calls, let me just tell you this. The Red Sox in their history, the draft was instituted in 1965. In the first 3 years of the draft, the Red Sox selected 5th, 4th, and 3rd. They had the 5th, 4th, and 3rd picks in the first 3 years of the draft. Since that time, starting in 1968, obviously 67 changed everything around here, at least as it relates to the baseball team. Starting in 1968, the Red Sox have only been in the top 10 of the draft three times. Three times. And they got to number 7. 1993, they took Trot Nixon. He was the number 7 pick in the draft, and I would say overall, fine. You got a good player there. Not a superstar, but a good player. In 2013, they had the number 7 pick. They took Trey Ball, a left-handed pitcher who's been a complete bust. And in 2015, they had the number 7 pick, and they took Andrew Benintendi, who's starting to look like a complete bust. And that's a little harsh on Benintendi, but he's regressed the last 2 years. So you're not getting what you should have gotten out of that pick. He's worse than Nixon, if you ask me, right now. At the beginning, he looked like he was going to be better. But that's it. Now, if you look at the history of it, and you average out the highest pick that the Red Sox had in the first round every year, they have the third worst draft position in Major League Baseball. The Yankees are the worst, which makes sense. The Dodgers are the second worst, which also makes sense. Those two organizations have been very successful. And the Red Sox, the third worst average draft position since the draft was instituted in 1965. This year, you have a chance at a top 5 pick. The Red Sox haven't had that in a long, long time, over 50 years. If you're going to lose, lose big. Lose big and go for that number 1 pick. Or go for the top 3 pick. Whatever. I'll take it. Give me top 5. Because you're in that neighborhood now. Go for it. Go for the pick. Dave's in Maine. Dave, what do you got?
Hey, Tony. So I'm with you. There's no reason to win games this year. But I think you were alluding to before the break that MLB can, it's not necessarily worst record gets the first pick this year. I mean, it could be. But I know something in the CBA says that if it's not a true complete season, and, you know, and the season could really end at any day now if there's multiple outbreaks on teams, that the commissioner has the right to order the draft in a way that makes sense. And so I guess I think it's just important to know that even if they end up with the worst record, it's not necessarily they automatically have the number one pick, which would be nice. I mean, I think you know that Vanderbilt's got a couple of stud pitchers. One of them's Al Leiter's kid, so this is a good year to have a one or a two pick. But it's not necessarily a guarantee if they don't finish the season.
So, Dave, no, that's right, it's not. And I'm glad you brought this up. I don't want to confuse people too much because, as you said, it is possible that the commissioner will just go in reverse order of standings. I've heard a couple of different things from people in the game, and I poked around a little bit today as to what they're going to do with the draft. There are people who believe that what the commissioner is going to do ultimately is to factor in 2019 in some way, shape, or form. So it'll be a combination of records or partial records from 2019 and 2020. Now, again, I would tell you that in the case of the Red Sox, they might actually be okay, depending on how the commissioner does it, relative to 2019. And when I say that, I'm trying to punch it up exactly as I speak with you here. But last year, if you remember, the Red Sox got really bad right around the trading deadline. So we're going to call it, I'm going to draw the line at August 1st. Okay, they started losing games at the trading deadline and extended right after. But post-trading deadline last year, you know, the Red Sox did not perform well, and I'm trying to get an exact one-loss record here for you, 25-28. So if you add that, if the commissioner were to say, well, we'll take the final 2 months of last year plus the 60 games, or we'll go post-All-Star break last year plus the 60 games, they're still going to have a horrible record. They could still end up with a good pick. So everyone is eager to see what the commissioner ultimately decides, but it is quite possible that he just gives it to the worst teams. And if you end up in the top two, top five, whatever, you're going to get a high pick, and heaven knows the Red Sox need some good young players in their minor league system. They got a couple in the big leagues, Bogarts, although he's really not all that young anymore, Devers, but they have nothing really in that system, not yet. Nick is in Needham. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, Tony, Murray, thanks for taking my call. Aside from tanking, which, yeah, great, I agree with it, what other strategic moves as GM would you guys do to get the Red Sox back on track?
Okay, yeah, so Nick, look, the easy one is free agency. I mean, what else are you going to do? I would also consider trades. I mean, if you're telling me I can get something for Benintendi and I can get myself a half-decent pitcher for him, then I'm moving Benintendi. You're going to have to sacrifice something here. You're going to have to bleed a little. They're in a serious crisis here. Do people understand this?
Yeah, I think so.
Do people understand how bad it is?
I believe they do, man.
See, but I'm not sure they do, Murray. I think people mistake the COVID crisis for the baseball crisis. In other words, they look at it and say, well, Eduardo Rodriguez is out. Guys aren't playing.
Sale's injured, all that.
Yeah, it's not a real season. First of all, Sale might never be the same again. Maybe he will be, but he's not coming back at the beginning of next year.
Same with Eduardo Rodriguez.
Right, you're not getting Sale till the middle of the year, and who knows what the hell Eduardo Rodriguez is. You don't know that that's going to be the same thing either. And even if he is the same, what was he? Prior to last year, he was a...
Last year was a fluke.
Middle of the rotation, end of the rotation kind of starter. What I don't want them to do is go out on the market and throw a $200 million contract at another pitcher. I don't want that. And it's going to cost more than that now anyway because Gerrit Cole got $300 million or whatever the number was. So what I want them to do, incredibly, be patient, be smart. I'm done with this whole schizophrenia thing. I'm done with it. Win a World Series, 108 wins, 2 years later, suck and finish last. Is it going to be that way forever? Is that what they're going to do over and over and over again? Four World Series, four last place finishes if they finish last this year. Is that how you want to live? Penthouse to outhouse. I'm done with that. And it shouldn't take that, by the way. I'm waiting for the a-hole who calls and says, well, would you take four more last place with finishes if it guaranteed you four more World Series? And you know what my answer is? No. No, I'm done with it. And it's not a fair question because an organization like the Red Sox shouldn't have to finish last to win. They shouldn't. The Yankees don't finish last. Even the Dodgers. The choking Dodgers, they don't finish last when they lose. Last place, you should be angry about it. I'll accept the draft pick this year. Again, they've never had the number one pick. Not that they're going to get that either, because they're not going to suck quite enough to pull that off. But top three, top five, I'll take it. I'll take it. I'll certainly take it over watching this for any sort of length of time, this absolute freaking calamity that takes place at Fenway Park every night. Murray's Get Your Headlines.
Pauly jacks that one deep to left, and it is gone. A grand slam. J.D. Martinez with his second home run of the season. He makes it an 8-5 game.
Here comes the Red Sox. One swing of the bat. Clears the bag. 8-5 game. He got a slider up, and he just lost it.
Look what happened. Hey, what do you know? When he hits in the late innings, when he actually gets a bat in the late innings and gets up to the batter's box, did you know that J.D. Martinez can actually hit a home run that can, you know, put some serious runs on the board? Grand slam last night, 8-5. They were down 8-1 at the time, which makes me wonder, that game in New York, where they were down 5-2 and two men on, and he didn't want to pinch hit. Boy, you know, if he had done then what he did last night, it's a tie game. Maybe they win. Maybe it puts a little juice in the team. Maybe they don't suck this bad. I take that back. They would suck this bad. The pitching staff blows. But J.D. Martinez, and he has another hit today, right, Murray? What do you get, another homer, a double, knocking a couple runs?
Yeah.
Contract drive, now that the season's over, he's deciding to hit. Grand slam last night. Is that the deal? I'm sorry, I'm not letting the J.D. Martinez thing go.
It does feel that way.
And by the way, Ron Renicki did his weekly interview on our competitors today. And he was asked about the whole situation with J.D. Martinez and whether he could have pinch hit in that game. I think Lou asked the question, Lou Maloney. And I would say, good job, Lou. So what Renicki said is, I guess what it comes down to is, and these are hard decisions for me, is when I tell a guy he's off for that day, how much time do I give a guy to get loose and how big a moment does need to be for me to use him? I think when I looked at him and he looked at me, I just shook my head and said no. So let me stop before I read any more from Ron Renicki about J.D. Martinez not pinch hitting in New York. Ron Renicki, I think, protected his player that night. I think Ron Renicki's protecting his player now. I have no issue with Ron Renicki. I looked at him and he looked at me and I said no. Meaning, again, that it sure felt like J.D. didn't want to hit. I've yet to hear from J.D. Martinez on this. I know what I've heard from Ron Renicki on this. I haven't heard from J.D. Martinez. J.D. Martinez failed to or declined to pinch hit on Saturday night in New York. The last time he spoke with the media via Zoom, and again, we're in a pandemic, was on Friday night in New York. So he spoke with the media Friday, failed to pinch hit on Saturday. He hasn't spoken with the media since. Why not? Why not? Have they asked him and he said no? He's the highest paid player on the team. It's been 2 weeks. He hasn't talked to the media in 2 weeks via Zoom. I want to hear from J.D. Martinez. I want to hear what cockamamie excuse J.D. Martinez has for not grabbing the bat in New York. His routine? The iPad? What was it? I want to know. Stanley's in Leominster on the future of the Red Sox. Go ahead, Stanley.
Hey, Mass, can I go back to the draft?
Absolutely.
That you talked about?
Yep.
I'll tell you what, and I've given you credit. You nailed Benintendi right from the start. You didn't think he was Kyle Yastrzemski, and you've said it from way back when. But they haven't had is this scouting staff replaced with the new general manager? Because if there's no college baseball and no high school baseball and you got them up to the 3-2-1 pick, what are they going to accomplish? Because they've shown nothing. The last 2 years they took high school infielders. That's so a scratch ticket they're looking for.
Stanley, I'll tell you what, it's a good point. It's a good point. And one of the top players in the country this year is a high school player from Georgia. John Tomasi wrote about him today on NBC Sports, NBCSportsBoston.com. So, look, I'm not, you know, I can't tell you what the minor league talent is out there, who's good, who's not. I know what I read. Vanderbilt's got a couple of kids. One's Al Leiter's son. The other's a big right-hander, the prototypical big right-hander. And so, but you're right. Now, look, historically, the Red Sox have never drafted well with pitching. I would tell you, though, that the Yankees have had similar problems. I mean, look at all the Yankees World Series winners over the years. And look at those teams that they put together that won the 5 World Series with Jeter. Now, look, they had Pettit on that staff. I would also tell you the Red Sox had John Lester. But El Duque was a signee, international. It wasn't a draft pick. David Cone, signee. I'm trying to think of who else they had on those staffs, if you guys remember, those Yankees teams. But the Yankees historically paid for pitching, too. What the Red Sox have always been good at, always, almost for my entire lifetime, drafting and developing positional players. They typically are good at that. Now they need pitching. Mark's in Orlando. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. How much of this falls on management? Meaning, and I know it all came down to cheating, but would Alex Cora, if Alex Cora was the manager, would all this still be going on? And how good of a manager was Cora?
So, Mark, what I would tell you is if Alex Cora were the manager, they'd still be losing. Would they be losing this much? No. And I asked Murray this during the break, so let me ask him again now. Murray, would they be this bad with Cora?
No. I think that they really played hard for that guy, and he got the best out of players that had not achieved as much prior to him getting here. I know Eduardo Rodriguez is out, but he got the best out of Eduardo Rodriguez. That's certainly going to be an anomaly to me. But
how's Devers been this year, Murray?
A hack, especially in the field. So I think he misses him. He lit a fire under his ass. So some with the Latin players, I think that influence really mattered. So with him gone, they're playing for a mannequin.
Yeah, and look,
they don't care about Ron Renicki.
And Bogarts is out of the lineup again tonight. He might be available to pinch it later. Not that that's going to matter when they're down 12-5 is that the fifth or the sixth inning now, Murray? Because my eyes are so horrible, I can't see from here.
Sixth inning,
Tom. Okay, so this game's over. They're going to lose, as usual. Again, and that might not be a bad thing. This year, keep losing.
They played for 2 hours and played half this effing
game. I'm going to celebrate the defeats now. I am. I'm going to celebrate the defeats and the base-running blunders. I'm going to gold stars for anyone who can make a mistake that leads to a loss.
I've been doing that since game one.
We're going to do it backwards. Aboard. That's when we start putting up gold stars. Maybe we'll start keeping track.
Can we do a tank song?
That's not a bad idea. I'm thinking, I told you, I want loser songs. All kinds of loser songs that we can play over the balance of the season. Murray's working on that. Murray's working on the music library for the Baseball Reporters 2020. So you perdido, I'm a loser, baby. Tom's in Quincy. Go, Tom.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, is anyone going to bring up the fact that the thought of tanking with a $200 million-plus dollar payroll is like the most absurd thing that should ever happen?
Tom, I agree with you. I couldn't agree with you more, but as the saying goes, it is what it is. We are where we are.
I know, and that's my thing, Tony. It's like this is making this more and more disgusting with every passing day. Like every day I watch, I get more and more sick to my stomach. And as I was on hold, I watched Walden come in. Did you happen to look at that?
No, how'd it go?
First batter face, Renfro, yard. It's like these guys suck, man. But it's like, it's just amazing to me. Like, they're really going to compete for the worst record in all of baseball with the effing Pirates. Like, this is the most inexcusable excuse of a baseball team I can ever remember being assembled as far as pitching. And I've been watching them since I was, like, 8. So this is beyond – they're in a new realm of absolute suctitude that I'm almost forced to not even turn the games on anymore. And when you got guys like me that aren't going to watch it anymore because of this display, how the hell am I supposed to sit down? I think Jim just said it. Almost two and a half hours into this, they're halfway through.
Like, so
you can't win here.
So, Tom, what I would tell you, celebrate the sucking, embrace the tanking. Embrace it. They've given up 13 runs today. They're in the sixth inning. It's 13-5. 13 runs.
It's brutal, man.
Oh, Chris in Worcester doesn't like my comparison with the Yankees, I think. Chris, what do you got?
Yeah, hey, Tony. Speaking of embracing the sucking, you were comparing the Red Sox to the Yankees and saying we shouldn't have to put up with them being last place 4 seasons for 4 World Series trophies. And in comparison with the Yankees, since the wild card was instituted in 95, the Yankees have only missed the playoffs 4 seasons, but they've only won the World Series one more time than the Red Sox. So I'll take the trade, and, the years that they suck, I'll enjoy the summer and not waste my time watching them.
Yeah, okay, well, then you know what? I mean, then you don't really care. You're probably one of these casual fans that shows up to sing Sweet Caroline. So you take the summer off. Fine. Those who really care, don't take the summer off. I can't take the summer off. Murray, can you?
No, I cannot.
Jimmy Stewart, can you take the summer off?
Nope.
No. And a Red Sox fan, or I would submit a real team of any sport, you don't just not watch for a whole season. You'll make that trade, then you're a loser. Sal's in a car. Go ahead, Sal.
All right, Maz. I'm with you, but here's the thing, and Tom should look at it this way as well, your previous caller. It's a 60-game season. It's a perfect opportunity to tank.
Bingo.
Because we only have to endure it for 60 games.
I agree.
And not 162 games. So do it. Half the fan base thinks it's a fake year anyway. They'll look back on it of all time and say, oh, that was the COVID year. They sucked, but it didn't count. So the Red Sox will do less long-term damage to their fan base by sucking this year.
So, Sal, look, I'm with you. I actually think you can even kind of enjoy it. I think you really could kind of celebrate the thing and say, you know what, they're going to get a good draft pick out of this, suck some more. Like, I'm starting to wonder, they're 6-12 on their way to 6-13. Is there any chance they could go like 15-45, finish 30 games under in a 60-game season? That would be a feat. That would be quite an accomplishment.
I mean, if they only play the Rays and the Yankees, I mean, that's 13 wins right there. So
okay,
it's possible.
So after tonight, they'll be 1-8 against the Yankees and the Rays, and they play 20 games total against those two teams. So 1-19 is in play. Right? The next series is the Yankees. Four games in New York. Is that here or in New York?
No, it's in New York.
That's in New York?
Yeah.
They could get killed down there. That'd be awesome. They could lose four down there easy. Especially when you look at the pitching matchups.
Yeah, Evaldi.
Garrett Cole's pitching the first one, right? That's a loss.
Holy crap.
Another home run?
That's a bomb. 16-5.
Quickly, Paolo in Somerville. Go ahead, Paolo.
Go for two.
Yeah, I think the reason that people like JD have the stones to not take at bats is because they got these ridiculous, fully guaranteed contracts.
So, look, Paolo, that's true. But I would also tell you that Xander Bogaerts, generally, when he's been in the lineup, he's producing now. He's got a fully guaranteed contract. He's making $20 million a year. Some of these guys are making less than, I suppose that's your point, that you're making a lot of money you don't have to produce. But let's not blame the contract. Let's blame the player. Let's blame the player for not having the integrity to first of all, the pinch hit thing's inexcusable. Down 3, two guys on in New York, he drives the ball to the opposite field, you don't bat, inexcusable. And you want to talk selfish? Yes, selfish. A lot of guys are selfish. But that guy will not clearly won't play for anyone but himself. That's what it feels like to me. We'll wrap it up with your calls next. And I do have one minor itch to scratch as it pertains to a big picture story in Major League Baseball. There's a player in Colorado who people are saying could be threatening a sacred record this year. Charlie Blackmon, threatening to hit 400. We'll touch on that when we come back.
This is the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is a high fly ball, deep center field. Did Charlie get enough of it? Off the very top of the wall again. Here's Story coming home. Double for Blackmon. Safe at the plate is Trevor. He hit it in the same spot he just hit it. Another three-hit ball game for Blackmon, making 4-2 Colorado.
Well, it's fun to be Charlie Blackmon right now.
Charlie Blackmon of the Rockies. Murray, do you know what he's batting right now? Have you seen this? He's leading the major leagues in hitting.
Is he? He was 500 a couple of days ago, but I think he went hitless last night.
Yeah, he did. So he's 472, but he was 500 as recently as a couple of days ago. Might have been yesterday. Like, honestly.
He's the 13th. Yeah, I think heading into yesterday, he was 500.
Okay, so, and I saw this headline on MLB.com. And I take that for what it's worth. But I saw this headline that Charlie Blackmon could be the first guy to hit 400 since Ted Williams in 1941, I guess it was, right? Or was it 46? I get those years mixed up. It was one of those 2 years. So, can you please stuff it with this?
Yeah, people? Please. Thank you.
Can you please stuff it? Like, the idea that a guy would hit, 400 in a 60-game set schedule, not even close to being the same thing. Not even close. Stuff it. You can go to hell with that. No chance. No chance is it even remotely close to that. And it was 41. Not even close. There have been lots of guys who have taken a 400 average into like August. Lots of guys have done that. And August in a 162-game schedule, by the way.
It's the grind that makes it so difficult to do.
It's the whole point. You've got to continue that pace for 6 months, not for two. Oh, please.
It's a crock. No one would acknowledge that. If MLB tries to shove that down people's throats and they want that to stand, if he were to accomplish that, it's fake. It won't be acknowledged by anyone with half a brain.
I almost didn't even want to bring it up because I found it so insulting. But then I thought, Maybe that's why I should bring it up. That's a, that's embarrassing to even bring that up. Anyway, Jones is next. Oh, no. Jones is not next. Oh, yes, he is.
Yeah, Jones is socially distancing.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Half Jones- an hour fraud shift for Jones.
Is he working from home?
Hockey Jones. No, he's here.
Oh, he showed up for this?
Yeah, Hockey Jones gets you ready for the pregame.
Hockey Jones, Bruins in three.
But he showed up for a 30-minute show?
Yes.
Now, that's a real professional right there.
Well, that's Hockey Jones. He's a grinder.
Mm. Midday show.
He's a grinder. He's a dirt dog.
Midday show had a 30-minute show the other day. None of them showed up.
Well, we call that the Zoe effect.
All right, so there you go. Pac-Man's got you for the next 30, taking it right into Bruins pregame. Game two, Bruins, Carolina Hurricanes, right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. You really could just keep it on the dial all night long. We'll see you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.